What is going on with Scott's video?
He's stuck. It's like a pinwheel. Remember Pinwheel?
Pinwheel spinning around.
On Nickelodeon?
Yes.
I hated that show.
What?
But I watched it. Like, I hated it, but I watched it.
You hate watched it. Yep. You're practicing for the 2020 two Saints.
Big dummy, you're listening to the Dome Patrol podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and this is my host voice.
Are we on the radio tonight?
No, all right, for real though. Let's see, what do we got this week? The divisional round of the playoffs did answer a few questions. For us, Dallas are frauds. The Bills are in trouble. Actually, they're out. So, the previous week was not an anomaly. It filled with mistakes. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. Sean Payton's sweepstakes has gotten clearer as well as cloudier all at the same time. So we'll talk about that again. And the Saints did finally announce a decision. One decision that they've made in these so far this offseason. And that particular decision has gotten the Houdat Nation at each other's throats on Twitter. And we at the Dome Patrol podcast are eating our popcorn as we watch the meltdown. And then, of course, we do have to catch up on pick'ems because we've got, two more weeks of pick'ems left before the season's over?
That's it. Three games total.
That's right. Put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. On the show this week, we have James, Jason, and Scott. And welcome to the dais, fellas, where we're kind of like last week. We're just going to have a general free-flowing conversation about the topics mentioned up top. I would like to start, because this is a Saints podcast, obviously, let's start with the Saints' decision to keep Pete Carmichael as offensive coordinator. What do you read into this? I already know how you feel about it. So I want to know what you read into. Like, what are they thinking?
They're basically thinking that if we weren't injured as much as we were this year, that we would have been better than what we were. I mean, that's the only logical thing that I can think of.
Right, right.
I'd like
they're
to
wrong,
think
wrong, that, but that's what they're thinking.
I'd like to think that they're actually really tanking for next year, but I know that's not the case because that's not what they do. Because to me, that's the only thing that makes sense of keeping Carmichael or Pete Michael, as I like to call him, and Allen, is that they know, look, these guys are going to suck. Let's just suck next year. But that's not the way they operate. And again, it's like I've mentioned for a while. I mean, this is probably going on a few years now that I just don't know that I trust anybody in that building. I think a lot of guys haven't had to do much. There's a lot of entrenchment there. There's plenty of job security with a lot of guys in that building. Nobody's really fighting for their jobs. There's no pressure to make a good decision, and they don't get penalized when they make a poor decision.
No accountability, in other words.
Oh, the magic word.
They're really, really doubling down on this stability and continuity angle that they've got. And Scott, what you said, I think what they are saying with this decision is that it was the injuries that derailed the team season's not finished yet, rather than coaching and play calling, which in hindsight, I think they will regret that decision.
I tend to agree.
Best case scenario, Sean Payton goes back to Fox. Dennis Allen sucks next year. We fire him, hire Sean Payton, get Sean Payton back, and then we have a top draft pick.
He's not coming back here. He's just
I'm
not.
Just saying that's a dream scenario, but it's not going to happen, but that's a dream scenario.
The dream scenario was he didn't fucking quit in the first place.
Oh, well, yeah. There's that.
I'm going to keep banging that drum, by the way.
Sometimes okay, you just need to recharge your batteries.
If they're, you know, their excuse is, okay, well, it's the injuries. Well, this is two straight years of a ton of injuries. And what the fuck are we doing about the trainers and the doctors here? Because we're not doing anything. Are you telling me this is just fluky that for two straight years we were incredibly injured? Oh, and by the way, the franchise that's in the building right next door also deals with injuries on a constant basis. I mean, there's some common theme here, but
there's a Superdome built on an Indian burial ground or something.
I honestly think the arena.
Well, there's
is.
An old saying that, or an old belief that, you know, or joke even, that the Superdome was built on Marie Laveau's grave or burial spot, and that was leading to the curse.
But look, we fired the tight ends coach, so you know that's going to change.
That's
things.
The weird thing. Like, that was so random. Like, what did he do? That I mean, was so wrong.
He had the Juwan coach Johnson, Troutman. What do you expect?
Johnson has been coming around. Like,
Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill were probably two of our better players this year.
Right. The tight ends weren't the, like, again, yeah, it's like, the you know what the problem was here? It's our tight ends. Or, I mean, I can, this is unpopular opinion, I can get on board with the mindset that injuries might be more to blame for our failure this season than anything else. Meaning, yes, Pete Carmichael was unable to work with the players that he did have to use, or come up with schemes or come up with ways to win with those guys. And Dennis Allen failed where Sean Payton used to be successful with the next man up mentality, right? But in the end, like, they were forced to constantly change offensive strategy because of injuries this year. And if I'm at my job and I didn't meet my goals as the manager, as whatever, and the big reason I didn't meet my goals was because more than half of my team, my best performers on my team, my employees, went MIA, whether they were on vacation, they got COVID, they were whatever. Like, so yeah, I didn't have the manpower. I didn't have the employees, and I had to get a couple of interns to step in. And then we missed our company goals because of that. I wouldn't want to be fired for that. I would want a shot. I'd be like, you know what? At least give me a chance with my people that I hired to do the job, that should be there to do the job.
I kind of agree, but the counterpoint to that is the play calling I'm just thinking, how many times did we run on 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 13, 2nd and 14, whatever it was? Clearly not going to work behind a banged up offensive line. So again, he couldn't change. I mean, I know you design a game plan for a game and you've got to try and stick to it to a certain degree because you've been working on it all week. But if it's clear it's not working, you've got to make adjustments. The thing was, you say that Dennis Allen, didn't we? Our defense in the first half used to be terrible. In the second half, they'd always come out having made the adjustments. You didn't see any adjustments this year. It almost felt like he was dialing it in.
And kind of to what Jeff was speaking about, if you do lose those people, you kind of tie in Jeff and James, if you do lose those people, you have to make adjustments to play to the strengths of the people that you do have. You can't do anything about the people that aren't there or in the building. The people that are hurt are not on the field. What you can do is try to play to the strengths of the people that are there. And I don't think they did a good job of doing that.
What, you mean like throwing a 50-50 ball to Taysom Hill on third down in a really important drive isn't playing to his strengths?
Or to Kirkwood, or to whoever out, Traquan, who hadn't caught a ball all year. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, and I don't see how that changes. My only hope, maybe Sean Payton gets another job and
takes Pete with him. I wonder if Mickey is thinking that as well. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of incompetence going around the offices over on Airline Drive, and there's no easy way to fix it. I think we're going to suck next year. That's personally what I think. And I think it's probably good that it's the only way for them to acknowledge that there's a problem. They seem to not want to acknowledge that there's a problem.
I guess. Is Mickey Loomis on the hot seat now?
He's not, but he should be. But he's not. I mean, he's not. He's not going anywhere.
Another question. Say we go 4-13 next year. Is Mickey Loomis on the hot seat?
He should be, but he won't be. You know, Gail's not going to fire him.
Right. The first thing would have to be that the coaches involved would have to be on the hot seat first before the GM. They always go before the GM does. It depends on, but yeah, like the reason he's not, Jason, I think is because the only thing I can.
Oh, I do declare I'm not going to fire anybody.
That's it, right? That's the only thing, the only conclusion I can land on is Gail wants to the organization to be surrounded by guys that she knows, she trusts, she like, you know what I mean? Like Dennis Allen, we built a team of character, not characters. And so now we've got a bunch of good character guys.
We just have the shitty guy leading them.
They're just not, but they're all of them, like Pete Carmichael, great character guy. But maybe he's not the offensive genius that, you know, explaining why he never left. But here's the other thing.
It was all Drew Brees.
So, and Sean, right? I mean,
I think it was mostly Drew.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean, after Drew left, what did Sean do? Oh.
He still had a winning record.
Well, we'll find out next year whether it was anything to do with Peyton when he's coaching a different team, won't we?
Yeah. And now you are seeing some people tweet out and make comments about how, like, or what was it on... It was Gronk yesterday, was it? Or day before, where he was talking about Sean. Sean was actually off camera, like in the same room, walking around, where Gronk was pretty much talking about how Tampa Bay beat the Saints in the playoff game. He said Sean never changed. Sean just kept doing the same thing over and over. He never adapted.
So that's where Dennis got it from. Keep doing what we're doing.
Well, it could be like, we're right. We're all like, how come he didn't learn anything? Actually, he did.
And well, like Gronk I'll take you back to the home Minnesota playoff game. Right, Drew was struggling in that game. Taysom Hill was single-handedly keeping us in that game, and he brought us back close, and then he never saw the field for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. I think if we'd have carried on riding Taysom Hill for that game, we'd have beaten the Minnesota Vikings in that playoff game.
Yeah, and maybe it was a money decision, but like getting rid of certain players maybe before they should have. You know, like Von Bell, like I saw that tweet where people were talking about how, like, oh, look at Von Bell. Like, Sean Payton want to walk away from him and look at how he's playing? And CJGJ is another idea. But of course, that was not Sean Payton. But this goes back to maybe Mickey. But again,
they drafted CJGJ after they let Von Bell go in free agency, didn't they? It was the same summer.
And they brought in Malcolm Jenkins, and Malcolm Jenkins played pretty well. So
no, I don't think Jenkins decision was a good decision.
Well, it was a short-term, short-sighted decision. It worked, but there you had a finite time period. But it's in terms of choosing who to keep and who to let go. And
I laugh at the people who are like, they're in Boston Scott. They're using him because he scored a touchdown yesterday. Right. You know.
So, I mean, you do have Trey Hendrickson and Marcus Williams. They let go. But the Saints, and I saw somebody tweet, but the Saints
Hendrickson
always
was a money, like, you can't.
The problem is they had a sunk cost in Davenport that they didn't want to get off of. And in actuality, they should have gotten off of him and kept Trey, but they didn't. But also, I've seen people say that, oh, yeah, the Saints never keep any of their homegrown players. Now, if you look at it, they actually have re-signed a lot of their homegrown players. Now, they don't always make the right choices, but they do pay their own players. It's just, I think it's some of his recency bias, too, since the Saints suck now. It's like, it's kind of just a pile-on that they're going to bring it up. But really, I mean, you could look at the sunk cost of Davenport when they should have moved on and kept Trey, and they didn't. You know, the ability to see a sunk cost, you know, they try to ride with it to justify what they spent on it. And it failed. Half a sack.
He deceived everybody last season. That was an outlier. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's good season was a bit of an outlier, which is why we probably didn't pay what he got from the Bengals. But it proved since he's gone to Cincinnati, it wasn't an outlier. It just took him 3 years to get NFL ready.
They made the comment about the Saints always, Mickey and I guess Sean, always liking to get guys in a year before they should. That kind of goes into why they did what they did. I guess they went out and got Olave, and then they like Penning was never going to be this year's pick. And I think, oh, this is something I heard on Nick's podcast on the New Orleans Football. That's it. And they were talking about, like, you know, if you think of it this year as like, would you take Olave as this year's first round pick. So like last year you got Penning, this next year you get Olave. Like you wouldn't take Penning this year in a first round pick, but I don't know, like just the way football decisions are made. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. There's money at stake. There's, you are looking at building a football team, not in 1 year increments, but in multi-years. And so I think fans get a little short-sighted and you see all these fans complaining about every minor and little decision, like, oh, they should do that, as though it's Madden or as though it's like fantasy football. Well, that's, it's not as simple as we as fans think it is. There's a lot more moving parts. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that, let's be honest, that's probably like a lot of rule breaking that goes on behind the scenes too, you know, using people who are not official NFL employees to reach out to certain people and have certain conversations. And that's, but that's not the Saints thing. That's an NFL thing and everybody does it.
To your point though, about the picking a player a year early, you know, sometimes it works. We gave up a second round pick to in 2018 to draft Alvin Kamara in the third round in 2017, and that worked out okay. So it can work. Right. It's just a risk. And I suppose a second and a third is not quite as big as a risk as the extra first.
Well, think about it too. From your standpoint, you're Mickey, you know, and you're banking on the fact that you're going to get a first for Sean next year. So yeah, I'll throw away my first next year, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because I'm going to get a first from somebody else. So I don't actually lose a first. So if it plays out and it works out and we get a first round pick from this, one of these teams from Sean Payton, then that's a genius move. That you got two firsts last year and you got your first, and you still got a first this year.
Yeah. And it's no, not,
yeah.
Or maybe not genius. It's just not stupid.
It's not as bad as it initially looked.
Right.
Well, I mean, the fact that we sucked this year and our picks, what, 10th? Is that 10. Where it ended up? So, which is fine.
You weren't planning to be sucky this year.
Even at 10th, we're not getting a quarterback this year anyway at 10.
But they're going to go free agency.
Ugh, it's going to be gross.
I mean, for everything that I've heard, and I don't know enough about who these quarterbacks are, but for everything I've heard, it's not so much of a loss if you don't get a quarterback in this year's draft. It's next year's draft that you really want to get your quarterback.
That's why.
There's two next year, isn't there? There's Caleb Williams, and then there's the guy from, is it Drake May?
Is that this year, right?
No, next year.
Next year.
Okay. Does he play for Duke? Is it Duke or North Carolina? I can't, it's one of those.
I don't know. Basketball. I think we should wait and draft a guy as the last pick of the old seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant. I think that's an
Mr. issue. Mr. Birdie.
But you're right. There's three quarterbacks that could pick. Go into top 10, and they will all be gone by the 10th pick.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to Pete Carmichael's decision, can somebody at least remind me, didn't he not want to be the OC last year and we ended up talking him into staying?
That's apparently what happened. Yep.
So
let's run it back.
Now he doesn't want to get fired or he doesn't want to quit.
This is what makes me think that he might be going where Peyton goes.
I don't think so.
Well, Jeff, if you can,
that's
going to
really fuck us. Like, not fuck us, but like it's going to put us in a situation where we're going to have to get an OC after all the probably good candidates are taken.
Well, no, that means he's going to be our OC next year and we'll get a new OC when we get a new head coach. If he doesn't leave with Peyton, he's going to stick around. He's going to be with us next year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, Jeff, if you can do a shitty job and still get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, wouldn't you do that?
Hell yeah.
All right, then.
I know, two scoops. And I know, look, a lot of fans wanted Allen fired. He didn't. It's like, okay, well, we'll settle for Pete. You know,
they want ahead. They want someone. And then they got Rauscher.
They don't want Rauscher, but they wanted Pete. So of course, when they didn't announce that, I understand the frustration because it just doesn't seem like to us, it just doesn't seem like the Saints know what the fuck they're doing. They're just cruising along.
All right. So to that end, the big whatever brouhaha on Twitter and, you know, Saints Twitter is some people are starting to call out other people for not being good enough fans. And there's
so stupid.
I do want to ask, like, where do you stand as a fan on, like, being critical of the organ? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we are sitting here, we are saying, like, I don't understand this decision, I don't agree with this decision. And what I do like about the Dome Patrol podcast is that we are rational and level-headed. Like, we're not going to be so hyperbolic and extreme as to say, I'm going to quit being a Saints fan because of how stupid the organization's being, or they're going to, like, we're going to ruin the entire franchise with these decisions and things like that. Like, I mean, yeah, we'll joke about things and say, like, strap in everybody, because it's going to be the Ditka Hazlitt years or the Primora years. And for all we know, it could be another 10 years though. But I mean, where are you all on should a fan, how critical?
It doesn't matter to me. You could be a fan however you want to be a fan. It doesn't 100%. Matter. It shouldn't matter. Like, why does this? And it's fucking Jews. He comes off sounding like a giant fucking douchebag. Like, who fucking cares? Why do you care whether or not somebody does this as a fan, or somebody does this as a fan? And Scott's got background noise.
Sorry.
Like, I just don't understand why you should even care. People are allowed to be a fan however they want to. If you want to buy season tickets and go to games, fine. If you want to be upset and casually watch the Saints, that's fine. I don't care whether or not you're a fan or not. It doesn't matter. Why are you so worried about somebody else?
Also, you're right. Why does it bother you so much about how someone else feels about the Saints?
Right. It doesn't matter.
But you're not a good enough fan to me. Who made you judge, jury, and executioner?
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jason, completely. It's irrelevant to me how somebody supports the Saints. If they do want to do it full-time, part-time, half-assed, full-assed, no-assed, I don't.
Ooh, I should try that next year.
I literally don't care. But it got to the point where it turned into a bit of a willy-waving competition in terms of people starting tweeting pictures of their man caves and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I suppose I'm a fair weather fan because I got all this shit all over my wall. It doesn't matter. If you have, brilliant, great, all power to you. I don't care.
So what I should have done is shown my my flight, my boarding pass to London, and shown my hotel receipts to London and all my London stuff to just to verify how big of a fan I am, because I went to another fucking country to watch him. So that puts me on top of the list, right?
You're better than it, right?
Yeah, fucking right I am.
Yeah, but no, it all started from one person who I think was aiming it at people who were making that joke about handing in their fan pass and stuff like that, right? But then everybody then just jumped on it because that's what a lot of Saints fans do. And I think we all know the reason why. And it just, and then they all jump on something, and then it becomes this massive thing that it didn't need to become in the first place, because nobody should care how somebody else supports the team.
Right. It's a non.
I mean, what I'll say as I scroll through Saints, you know, fandom and reporting and whatnot, and I, you know, our timeline, we see certain people more often than not. That's how Twitter works. What I have seen is, you know, at least from our listeners, are people who they are fans, they don't love the decisions that are being made. There's fear. Like, if I'm going to psychoanalyze, what, like, all of this is a manifestation of fear that, like, this is a really scary situation that we're in, because I have seen no evidence that the decisions that they're making are going to result in success, when in fact I have seen evidence to the contrary. So it's hard for me to believe as a fan that we're going to have a winning record next year. And so this fear, then, you know, you have only a certain number of characters to say something, express how you feel on Twitter, which usually comes off as, and everybody wants to make a witty way of saying it.
Oh, so, people love being witty.
Yeah. So Twitter, you're getting wit with hyperbole. And if you don't know what hyperbole is, look it up, because that's what you're getting. And that usually is, it's intended to get results. Now, our listeners, from what I've seen, I think completely justified in their fear. And then you're going to have people all over the spectrum, which are, you're going to have your optimists who Right. And again, like, I think to me, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in interpreting what it was, but the accusation was that you have to support every decision. If you're, in order to be a fan, you have to be supportive of every decision that the organization makes.
I don't
Which
think
is
that's
just stupid.
That's like, what I picked up on. I don't agree with that. Like, as a fan, it's okay to be critical of your own team.
Right. And then he goes and doubles down by basically responding to everyone that tweets him back. Which
well,
is
that was an interesting decision by like to further like, because like it's kind of like if you it's almost like if you say something to offend a lot of people and then everybody in the world points out that it was offensive and you actually doubled down and defended that, like, well, too bad. I'm sorry that you were offended.
I mean, you got to remember, fan is short for fanatical, right? That's where the term came from. And if you're going to be fanatical about your team, it's only right that you enjoy, overreact, but enjoy when your team does well and commiserate and criticize when they don't. That's what part of being a fan is about. That's why you're a fan of that team or that whoever,
I
mean, you know.
I get what you're saying, but I would almost, again, I also understand this mindset of like, if you are a fan, there's a certain level of support that you don't go below. You know, like that, because again, like you are a fan. So why would you be so critical? Because you should have a level of supportiveness. However, every fan of every sport, like, what is being a fan of sports about? It's about as much about discussing how you feel. I mean, that's why we have a podcast. We discuss how we feel about the decisions. You're not going to agree with every decision. So it's okay to disagree with the team's decisions. It's okay to be unhappy with the results as a fan.
It honestly, I mean, it if anything, that shows that you care about the team, that you that you're willing to share your feelings about how you're feeling about some random sports team in a sports league that doesn't give a shit about your team or your city and has fucked you many times before.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of that too, a lot of us are just jaded at this point. We've seen what the NFL is. We know that we got screwed. It really, like, that whole game, and of course the memories on the timeline the other day, that's, man, January sucks for Saints memories on Twitter. It's really the worst.
But it's also the best if you want to remember 2009. It's just what you will choose to remember.
I'm going to retweet the shit out of that when that comes on the timeline.
I mean, yeah, like for real, like, again, like, people, it's like people are choosing to wallow in the misery. And it's recent, but, you know, I choose. Yeah, I almost turned on the 2009 season because I wanted some positivity in my Saints fanaticism this weekend. Like, it's what you choose to focus on. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I don't get to make the decision. Do you know what? They're keeping Pete Carmichael. That decision's made. Now, unless he leaves, like Scott says, to go with Sean Payton, this is our guy. We're riding with him. So instead of shitting all over him, yeah, I'm going to be like as supportive as I can of him. And I'm going to hope for the best. You know what? I hope they're right. I hope it was injuries. I hope Pete Carmichael does know what he's doing. I'm going to choose hope. It's the hope that kills you, but I don't have anything else.
Hey, one thing that's not going to work, and that's getting a Twitter petition up to fire Pete Carmichael.
That's the stupid shit.
That's not going to work.
That's the stupid shit.
That was a thing?
Oh, yeah, there was one. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Right. Well, online petition.
Same thing, but like, and that's the other thing. So the people, a lot of people who are criticizing Saints fans for not being blind supporters of every decision that they make, whether you agree with it or not, are the same, some of them are the same people who were threatening to turn in their fan card when the Saints were going after Deshaun Watson. Right. So they're not real fans.
And yet here they are.
Their own definition.
They're all here. Just because we didn't get them, that's just the fact that we went all in for them.
Yeah.
Oh, if we
it's just another thing that we were unsuccessful on. You should be even more pissed. Like, we couldn't even land a guy.
Like, if we could have had him, I promise you, he would have been on this team.
Oh, you know? For sure. 100%. Yeah. And all those people who threatened to quit because of our attempt to get him and said if we actually were successful in getting him, they would have quit. They wouldn't have fucking quit. And imagine if he would have shown up and we would have been in the playoffs and we were actually, say, we even won this past weekend. All those people would be fighting to get tickets to the NFC Championship game.
I didn't see this energy when we waited for Carl Granderson to come out of jail to play for the team. He actually went to jail.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's whether it's hypocritical or it's everybody's got to feel it's almost it's virtue signaling. That's what it is. Exactly it's virtue it signaling. And the, even the thing with the Pete Carmichael, like how people are reacting to keeping Pete Carmichael is a lot of virtue. It's in the same spirit of virtue signaling. I have to make sure that everybody knows my upset, like how upset I am with this decision. And everybody's got to one up each other with how upset they are. So I saw somebody else say they didn't like it. Now I got to say I hate it. And then Scott's going to say that he's going to threaten to not renew his season tickets. And then Jason's going to say he's going to, you know, light the Superdome on fire. And then James says he's going to drop a bomb on the city of New Orleans. I mean, everybody's got to one up until it just gets out of control.
It's old man shouting at a cloud syndrome.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. And that's what Twitter has been for the past 2 weeks. It's it's a load of old men shouting at clouds.
That's what happens. That's what happens when your team sucks.
2 weeks. Try
you don't have success. You can't you can't cheer for.
Yeah,
for,
this
for
think about
wins,
it. You think about it. This is the first year that the Saints Twitterverse has had to deal with true adversity because Twitter only came out in like 2007. And so it really wasn't popular. So like
you did have the three
only
the
14, had success.
I mean, you did have 14, 15, 16, the 7 and 9 years. That was probably
But you had Sean Payton. You knew that wasn't
going to
last.
We still had Drew. So at least there was some of that. It was more frustrating because we wasted prime years of Drew with the worst defenses ever known to man.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think now you see like where's the light at the end of the tunnel? I can't see it.
Well, and also like how much of our not success, our failure this year is all right. So we know coaching, we know injuries, but also like this narrative that we're an aging team. But everybody said like, there's a lot of people who say we're an aging team. Like our players are getting older. We got to refresh. Like who's old? Like, who's old that is failing? Like who's old that needs to be replaced? That isn't playing up to potential.
I think
Jordan's old, but he's playing better than he's played.
Pete.
Wow.
I mean, there's nobody that's old, you know, old per se. Yeah. I mean, the defense still played well. It's just
I think that argument is based on the fact that you've got Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis, who are both coming towards the end of their careers. You're now talking about Ramczyk struggling with his knee, and he's what 29 now, I think.
McCoy got hurt this year.
He did, but then you Lattimore and Kamara, they're both what in year 7 coming up now. This will be their 7th
year. Has
it
been that long?
7, 8, 9
for
10,
a running
11,
back. That's
12.
Old.
It will be year 7.
It will be running year back, 7. So they're old. Not young anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not as worried
Lattimore,
about
I'm not worried about
Lattimore.
But I'm just saying.
Sure. Well, he had a year off anyway.
Yeah, so and I know we've got Adebo. I know we've got Taylor.
Michael Thomas, he's only played for 3 years.
He's already off the team as far as I'm concerned.
You know what's weird about him? Like, I'm starting to come around to, you know what? I kind of want to keep him. I kind of want him on the roster again next year. Like,
why?
Because
he can not do anything again?
I'll tell you why. Because if we let him go and he's healthy and he's going to be the best receiver in the NFL, it's going to hurt worse than if we kept him on the chance that he's healthy and he's the best receiver in the NFL.
Get ready for heartache.
I mean, what are the what are the odds of this guy being hurt for 4 years in a row?
Once he leaves New Orleans, nothing. It's only when he's here.
Right. Which goes back to a tweet I made. Like, the issue is not the coaching. The issue is the Saints training staff, strength and conditioning or something, because
we love continuity with our doctors and trainers.
It's not even strength and conditioning. It's the doctors who deal who like heal the patient after they're injured.
Or
misdiagnoses.
Don't heal. Right.
Right. Yeah. But then you blame Oshner for all that stuff. But in reality, aren't these players out going to get their own medical teams and services outside of Louisiana?
I'm sure we're going to talk about this when we come to review the divisional rounds. But Patrick Mahomes got a high ankle sprain, was hopping, and still came on in the second half and won the game.
Because they shot him up with horse tranquilizer.
If that was
because Patrick Mahomes is made of something different than Michael Thomas.
If that was us,
He's got that dog in him.
Well, it, basically, when he went in at halftime, they injected him with whatever they injected Jameis Winston with in week one against the Falcons. So whatever it was.
It's bath bombs.
Yeah. But if that was, if Mahomes was playing for the Saints with that injury, we wouldn't see him for another year.
No.
Yeah, he was in Kansas City, he just gets a bit of spray on it, puts a strap on it, and hops his way onto the field and wins a playoff game.
Look at Jameis Winston. Like, I know, like, it's like, this is, it goes back to, like, we're cursed. Like, we, Drew left, like, Drew was the talisman that broke the curse. He leaves, and we're back to being the bad news Saints. Like, how is it that our quarterback Jameis Winston gets hurt that last year, not like in 2021, I'm talking about in 2021, can't play for the whole year, and then he comes back 2022, two games in, hurt again for the whole year. Michael Thomas, he's out for 3 years. I mean, your starting quarterback, your best receiver, your offensive line is always a revolving door at the hospital. I mean, like, what is the deal?
Cursed. Yeah,
we're cursed. I mean,
cursed. It's the only thing, only explanation.
We've been like, right, since Drew left, like, and so this goes back, I guess, this goes back to more justification for why Pete Carmichael isn't solely to blame, why Dennis Allen isn't solely to blame. And I can't believe that I'm actually sitting here and almost defending these guys keeping their jobs. But I mean, come on, Pete Carmichael had to design an offense for the last 2 years without Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas, who he went into the season thinking he had.
Okay, well, it's sometimes you got to learn on the fly. You got to adjust on the fly, and he was not.
You can only adjust so much. I mean, with Keith Kirkwood as your number three receiver, or Callaway as your number one receiver.
Yeah, but I mean, once we found
players got to play, but players got to play. Okay, then why are you not rewarding him and praising him for the fact that they developed Rashid Shaheed and got him? Instant, like, this guy wasn't supposed to be a great receiver.
Nah, Pete doesn't get any credit for that. Dennis,
right. When they do well, the players get the credit. When they don't do well, the coaches get the blame.
I put that on Rauscher.
So you're saying that about players missing and picking up players off the, you know, off the street and stuff like that. We beat the Falcons 3-4 years ago. We drew at quarterback, and every pass was to an undrafted free agent. Every touchdown pass was to an undrafted free agent.
Again, and
Austin Carr, Josh Hill.
Right, but that was Drew Brees.
Yes,
that 100%. Wasn't those free agents. And I think we, as fans, got almost like this brainwashed into thinking that these unrestricted free agents or these low-level receivers would, like, hey, we can play with these guys because they've always stepped up. We've always been able to coach them up. We didn't coach shit up. Drew Brees was putting the ball in there, threading the needle and putting it in the hands where any receiver could catch it. Well, we don't have that anymore.
This takes us back to the very first point that Jason made then, doesn't it? It was Drew.
Yes.
It was all Drew.
I am all on board with that. It was Drew more than Sean. It was Drew more than Sean.
Because
players got to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he was so good. He elevated the entire team. And now that he's gone...
And that doesn't mean coaching doesn't matter. I mean, look what Dable did with the Giants,
right?
Yeah, that last week, Jason. And look what Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid is now the first NFL coach ever to win 10 playoff games with two different teams coaching. But again, a coach is really good when he has the play.
It helps when you have Mahomes.
You pair the coach, and that's why Sean left. Sean left because he's taking the easy road.
He didn't get Mahomes.
Rather than rebuild and find another quarterback, I'm going to just jump to a team that has what I want.
Yeah,
and Sean's going to look like a better coach than he really is.
Maybe, yeah. If we'd have drafted Mahomes in 17, Sean would still be here.
Exactly, 100%. Or if we'd have got Lamar.
Yeah.
Sean would still be here. So speaking of that, I know I asked the question last week. Y'all know my position. I'd rather a pocket passer, but did Baltimore reject Lamar's offer?
They just have not signed him. They offered him a deal earlier in the season, and Lamar rejected it because he wants a Deshaun Watson deal. All the other teams are like, no. That was an outlier by a dumb franchise.
Yeah, he's not going to get that at all.
Do you think he goes to Baltimore? Like, they're going to work it out, or...
I don't know. I feel like if you're an NFL team and you've got a quarterback that you know you can win with, it'd be so dumb to let him out the building.
Right.
You just don't. I mean, look at us. They could be stuck with Andy Dalton. You know.
Would you bring Jameis back next year?
Well, yeah. Jameis isn't going to want to come back here next
Jameis
year.
Jameis isn't coming back next year.
Well, what if he can't? What if there's nowhere else that wants him?
I guess I would, but why? So don't get hurt again. Get him out again, or he'll get hurt again.
He'll be a backup somewhere.
I just don't know who
almost,
else.
Yeah, I almost want to avoid the whole, like, at this point, like the Jameis.
No, Winston. Jeff, let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's run it all back. Let's consistency. Well,
if Dalton's our starting quarterback next year, we're in for some deep shit.
He's going to be.
Oh, God, please don't say that.
I'm just, that's what I feel. It seems that
he
way.
He wasn't, again, like, I know he is the, I agree with Wesley's point that he's a commitment to mediocrity, but I don't believe that he was the reason we lost all games.
Do you think we can win a Super Bowl with him?
No.
No.
Okay, well, then we don't need him.
He's crazy. I don't know.
What about if
Aaron Rodgers?
Trey Lance Tom Brady available?
So this is what I was going to say, Jason. Okay, what we're going to end up with is somebody who has failed somewhere else. That's what we're going to end up with, isn't it?
Whether it be Trey Lance or Zach Wilson or somebody like that, that's the only way to get your hands on a former top the 10 pick.
Yeah, and the problem is that when you had, say, like a Sean, again, I do believe Sean Payton can work with a quarterback who failed somewhere else and turn him into a winner. I think that's what Sean Payton's big strength is. I worry that the Saints don't have a coaching staff who can turn that failed quarterback, Zach Wilson, for example, into a winner over here. Trey Lance, who played average at
he
got hurt.
I mean, he barely played.
Yeah. So we don't know what we really, and then he really sat behind Jimmy G his first year, his rookie year. They didn't let him play.
Yeah.
So they know something we don't. Like, I'm not sure that I really would want to get in on the Trey Lance sweepstakes just because. I think
he's probably not good.
Right.
Jordan Love, maybe.
Yeah.
But I almost see Rodgers. I know his contract might be hard to trade, but I could see Rodgers playing
like a mercenary year
somewhere else, like maybe the Jets or.
They say that every year. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Probably not. But
I mean, Green Bay didn't lose this year because of Aaron Rodgers.
No, they lost.
I think this year was the first year of a possible decline.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah. Would you take Tom Brady?
No.
As a mercenary.
I think he's falling.
We're gonna end up with Carr.
But I'm talking about you got Andy Dalton or Tom Brady. That's your option.
Yeah. What's behind door number three?
I Taysom Hill, legit starter for a whole year.
I think having Tom Brady would artificially inflate our own opinion of our team to the point where it would end up being disappointing very, very quickly.
Yeah. When you realize, holy shit, he's 47 years old.
it would be par for the course for this organization, the Saints organization that we have now, to be like, yeah, let's go get Tom Brady. You know, and it's kind of like, okay, that's a 3 years ago decision and that's where you're going to go now.
Ironically, had we signed him when he left New England, like we were probably going to, had Drew decided to stay retired, we probably would have another Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, 1,000%.
Sorry, Drew. I can't believe I just said that.
I mean, if he won with Bruce Arians in Tampa, he would have won with Sean Payton in New Orleans.
100%.
I think Carr is definitely going to end up in the NFC South. Like, pretty much all four teams need a quarterback.
He's not in.
We need one.
He's another one that I'm a little.
Tampa needs one. Carolina.
I mean, he's fine. He's an upgrade over Dalton, but how much are you gonna? I mean, I don't think he's not gonna be traded for because teams know.
I'm really curious
that the Raiders are gonna have to cut him. He's gonna have his choice.
The Raiders don't. Yeah,
he's gonna have his choice, and he's not gonna want to. He's gonna see Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael and be like,
nope. Thank you.
Hasn't he got like a 40 million roster bonus or something like that?
Yeah,
that's why he's waiting to be cut.
Yeah, they have to cut him.
Yeah.
So he'll be able to pick where he wants to go and it won't be here.
Would you take Jimmy G?
Nah, he's just average.
I would take him over Dalton.
Okay, so
I would take him over Andy Dalton.
What other free agent quarterbacks are out there?
That's the problem.
Jason, the thing is, you're saying no because you're like, where's your leverage? You've got Andy Dalton. Right now, so you're like, no, I'm gonna pass on Jimmy G. Really?
Why I'm saying no is because there are plenty of desperate teams out there. If they are going to drive up his price, I wouldn't want to pay $30 for Jimmy G, and that might be what it costs. Like, it's
quarterbacks cost money now. I mean, that's just what it is.
Okay, okay, that's okay. Fine, you signed Jimmy G.
What are
you
going to
end up?
Nine and eight. No, well, I mean, I think you can win a Super Bowl.
Better than we were this year.
He's a better game manager than Andy Dalton.
Yeah, but that's not saying much.
No, it's not.
It just seems. I guess my opinion is also, I don't want to try to win with this group anymore. I would rather. We need to hit bottom. I'm ready to hit bottom.
Like what group? You mean like this group of current Saints players?
Yes. Unfortunately, I mean,
what do you want to change?
I don't want to change. It's just it's time.
Who do you want to replace?
Well, the coaching staff and some of the aging players we were talking about. I think it's time to do a fresh reset.
I like what Mike Triplett said when he was on the show, where if he would look at it as, if you're not going to be, if I don't see you on this team in 2024 or 2025, then you are, I'm willing to let you go right now.
That's the thing.
With what I can get for you.
With our QB situation, we can't win the Super Bowl. So at this point, I don't want to try to, hey, let's finish 10-7 and lose right. The first round of the playoffs. Like, yeah. Would I want a playoff game? Sure. But in the long run, it just doesn't, like I said, it'll skew the view of the leaders of this organization thinking we're closer than we are.
And it will, and maybe keeping Dennis Allen, Pete Carmichael, and Andy Dalton is an admission that we are no longer in win now mode. And we are looking at things from a long-term rebuilding perspective. That why worry about all that bullshit right now? We got to get our financials under wraps. We got to start making investments in the future. So again, it's almost in a sense telling fans without saying outright to fans that 2023 it's not a tank year, but we have no expectations of winning next year. It's right now we're investing in the future.
I mean, I don't think the organization thinks that way, but
I mean, you kind of can't. You can you in sports?
I mean, if you're the Houston Texans, you can.
But I mean, you can also flip. I mean, that's what's the weird thing is. It's hard to imagine. Like, it's weird because you're saying, Jason, that you don't like necessarily want to go forward with this crop of players. And I asked the question, like, who would you like? I mean, Cam Jordan getting old. You kind of got to make that decision at some point. But Cam Jordan's kind of guy. You got him. Hey, you're going to retire here. That's what that's going to be. Lattimore, do you?
I mean, I don't want to get rid of everybody.
It's hard to think of these good guys. Like,
no, I don't want to get rid of everybody, but I guess really just changing the mindset of, hey, let's go out and sign Honey Badger and let's sign Marcus May because we're close to winning. We're that close.
Yeah.
Like to get a piece like that. Like, I don't want to make any moves like that.
Right. Okay. That I can agree with.
There's nobody on this roster that is untouchable this summer in my eyes for the right offer. Not one player. Everybody,
yeah,
for the right price would be available.
Do you think that we have a player morale? And again, like not like Dennis Allen lost them morale, but more of a our players have kind of lost that je ne sais quoi. Maybe to give an example of what I'm talking about, like how Kamara would say, you know, when Sean Payton was coaching and we were winning, like we didn't worry about the score. We didn't look at the scoreboard. We just knew we were better than this team and we come out and we impose our will and we beat them. And so, always this sense.
But we're not that team anymore.
Right. That's
I agree. That's yeah.
They can see, especially after 17, 18, 19, 20, where we won 50 something games when we knew we were a damn good team.
Yeah.
Now these players look around and be like, we don't have a quarterback now. They know they can't really compete for a championship.
So and then every Super Bowl, you think about every Super Bowl team since the beginning of time, always there's this magic, intangible thing that the players will always talk about. Like you have all your different ingredients. You got great coaching, great players. You stayed healthy. And then you also had like, it was just something special. You can't put it to words, but there was something special in the locker room. And the player, you just knew it. Like that's, we're missing that too. Like there's no... It's that belief in yourself and your belief in your team. Just going through the motions. And I get all this comes back to James, your point of saying like every player is expendable in your eyes this year. I kind of look at it where, yeah, like there's talent evaluation, but then there's also like who you are in up there in the, or in your heart, that dog in you, where I don't want any player who isn't a believer, you know what I mean? Or is more focused on himself than the team success.
Yeah. But for 14, 15 years, we had somebody who earned that respect from the players. If you know, did you get what I mean? Peyton demanded the respect from the players, yeah. And going from Peyton and his character to Allen, there's a big drop off there, I think.
Yeah. And these are Peyton's guys.
You see from the outside anyway.
Yeah. And these are Peyton's guys. These are all Sean Payton guys on this team. Yeah. And they clearly don't respond to a Dennis Allen style. Dennis Allen doesn't do things the same way.
No.
He doesn't manufacture crises. I don't believe that he knows how to like motivate the team the way Sean Payton always had a different way of motivating the team every week.
I don't think he needed to be the same as Sean Payton, because that would be really difficult to do.
It looks worse because you're trying to be somebody.
Exactly. But there was something missing this year. There was a distinct lack of energy or a spark, call it whatever you want.
Yeah. I look at it like, yeah, like at work, like my boss has a very creative mind and he's always coming up with amazing and cool ideas, things that I'm like, I would have never thought of that. And like, there's a difference, right? Sean Payton comes up with really cool ideas and does all these things. Dennis Allen he doesn't think the same way. So how he's going to like, I'm not saying Dennis Allen may not know how to motivate players. I think he has a different style of motivating players, where we have a roster of players who respond to Sean Payton's style. They were Sean Payton's guys. Maybe we do need a little bit of a turnover where we start to bring in guys that Dennis Allen's style resonates with and they respond to his style.
I don't want to bring players in to fit
who responds to dead wet fish.
Because I think Dennis Allen is not long for this organization.
Fair enough.
That would be a disaster. That would be very Saints, though, to bring in players that fit Dennis Allen.
We're going to bring guys who respond to apathy and limp-wristed handshakes and poor posture when they walk, and guys who make sure that their press releases sound more like a politician running for office than a football coach. We're in trouble. All right. That being said,
that was the roundabout way of saying we're in trouble.
Yeah. So real quick about Sean Payton, where are we now on the sweepstakes? Any teams pretty much out? Any teams become the front runner in your eyes?
We're bored.
Yeah, I know we are. We're
I'm
over
ready
it.
For it to happen.
Yeah, I am tired of the constant Sean Payton got on an airplane today. Sean Payton tied his shoe. Sean Payton wore a blue tie. Sean Payton has an interview with Denver. Wait, he has postponed his interview with Denver. Oh, wait, he prefers to talk. Yeah. I'm done with all that shit. Like, y'all get y'all stuff done. Everybody do what you're going to do, and let's go.
So it seems like Houston are out. It looks like they're going to appoint D'Amico Ryans. Looks like they're going to appoint him. But then he did play there, didn't he? So that kind of explains that one.
All right.
So he's interviewed with Denver, Carolina.
Once.
Arizona have now put their hat in the ring and they want to talk to him, and I think that's happening on Thursday.
Okay.
And I honestly, is there another team that I'm missing?
No. I think he's using Arizona to drive up the price, to be honest.
I think it's going to backfire on him.
Probably.
I'm at the point now where not. I just want it over. I want to know what picks we're getting, when we're getting them, and then we can just all move on and not have to talk about him on this podcast anymore.
I guess it's hard to think, like, do teams usually take this long to get a head coach, or does a head coach usually take this long, or are we looking at it like this is taking forever because we have a vested interest in the outcome?
Not often coaches like this suddenly become available, is it?
Right.
No, and I definitely think it's because we have a vested interest in it. And not only that, the way people are reporting it, kind of like you said, it's like anytime he ties a shoe or goes to the bathroom, they're having some kind of breaking news or breaking report, you know.
To where we're getting fatigue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And watch, he's going to end up going back to Fox, I'm telling you.
Nah, he's gonna coach. He's
gonna fuck us. He's gonna fuck us hard.
I hope not. All right, so it's down to pretty much Denver, Arizona, and Carolina. Either way, I really don't want him to go to Carolina as a fan. I don't want to face him twice a year. But if the compensation
that's the best picks, though.
I know.
Unless Arizona go mad and offer us number three.
Yeah. Let's do it. All right, let's get to pick'ems. It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. We make it. I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control. I am your pain. All right. So after last week, J.A. Orilla is in command of first place, followed by Drummer, and then Big Easy Gaijin, and then James. And so wait, James, Jason, and me are all tied for fourth place.
Wow.
With a 52-48 record. So it's going to come down to these last three games. After that comes the Mailman, Mark Brennan, Wesley, Scott, Jambalaya Brothers, Mr. Coach Kine, Tom Ensign, Sans Hobbs, Neil, and then the rest of everybody has missed too many games. And also, they just have such a poor record that they are no chance of catching us.
All right. Well, there's only two games this week. We have our AFC and NFC title game. So we will start off with the NFC clash. The 49ers coming off a win last week against the Cowboys. Dak threw couple of bad interceptions. I mean, this was really an ugly game for a long
time.
Did
not expect that from him.
But it's also this was really two good defenses. But I don't know, man. I thought the 49ers would still score more points. But here they are. Brock Purdy still has yet to make a mistake. I think he's 8-0 now.
Yeah.
But the big news is now he's got to go on the road. So he travels, and they travel to Philly, who just annihilated the Giants this week. And I had a feeling that was going to happen. I think those two teams had played a few weeks ago, and the Eagles just beat the shit out of them. So just goes to show you having a bye matters, getting that rest. And the Eagles just look locked in. So now you've got the 49ers, who a lot of people were claiming to be the best team in the NFC. They go to the Eagles to play the team with the best record, and now Purdy has to go on the road. So that is going to be the real question here.
It's almost like, has he played a road game? It's like every time I've watched San Francisco, they were at home.
Right, right. I mean, I'm sure he played some road games.
He's had to.
Crap, I mean, teams in the regular season. Yeah. But I mean, in the playoffs with everything on the line. So
how many points you give in San Francisco?
It's in Philly. Philly is favored by 2.5. So slightly less than the 3.
Okay. Wow. All right, I'll go first on this one. So based on what I've seen from San Francisco and a little bit of that struggle in Dallas against Dallas, I feel like they might have peaked about 2 weeks ago, and Philly is going to be too much for them. I really like this spread because it makes me feel even better about picking Philly.
I think that the 49ers defense is phenomenal, but I also think that the Eagles offense is phenomenal. And I think that he is going to be actually Philly's defense, which I think will be able to pretty much stop and dominate San Francisco. So I'm taking the Eagles.
I know James is waiting. I was kind of
So I saw what the Saints did to the Eagles defense, and that Eagles defense was pretty much full strength that day, right? I still think the 49ers are, I think what we're going to get is a classic 1980s Super Bowl matchup between the 49ers and the Bengals. So I'm going to take the 49ers, please. I think they win the game.
All right. Give me the Eagles. I can't trust Purdy on the road yet.
Yeah, I think Purdy's going to turn into fool's gold. If they win this week, they have no shot in Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Purdy's not going to be Mahomes or Murray. It's just not going to happen.
No, it'll be McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's that game. So then moving on to the evening for the rematch, the Cincinnati Bengals coming off a big win in Buffalo in the snow, really dominated. I was really worried about the missing offensive lineman. Didn't matter. Joe Burrow, just, he fucking wins, man.
Dude,
Burrow just fucking wins. Maybe
I think somebody forgot to tell the state of New York that they had football games this weekend.
It is wild because the Bills were kind of hailed as the team to beat pretty much all season, and
they really fell apart.
Didn't look great at all.
They started last week. Last week they didn't look great, and then this week they just completely failed to show up.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if maybe Allen's actually hurt. I don't know, but I mean, the Bengals beat him pretty good, man. 27-10. That was just a real dominating win.
Buffalo was never in that game.
So they travel to Kansas City to play the Chiefs, who held off the Jags 27-20. Jaguars with an epic cover at the end. But the big story here is obviously Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. Bud Kilmer shot him up at halftime, so he came out. So he won't be 100%. Hell, he'll probably be 70%, but he's definitely going to play. But he might be limping around. I don't know. But it's interesting what the odds makers think. They now have the Bengals favored by one, which is wild.
Wow.
Oh, you're giving Kansas City a point?
That's what it says.
I'm still taking the Bengals are winning the game, plain and simple. Even if Mahomes was fit, I'd still think the Bengals were going to win the game.
I think I'm riding. Yeah, the injury is just too. I'm riding with the Bengals. The injury is just too much.
We know where Scott's going, so we don't even need to ask him the question.
I don't know. Really. I haven't. I'm still debating.
Like, no, you're not.
No, well, look, I was debating.
He's got to come up with
today.
A long way of saying rolling with Joey B.
Honestly, no, seriously. I was debating earlier today about what I was going to do. And then I saw a picture of Joe Burrow wearing Seinfeld sweatpants, and that just like swayed me. So I'm rolling with Joey B. Bengals.
Surprise Eagles of the year.
In the Super Bowl. Look, let me tell you, AFC's win the Super Bowl this year.
Well, they have to because I hate the two NFC teams.
Right. Exactly. I'd be happy with Cincinnati or Kansas City winning the Super Bowl. But yes, in this week, the fact that Mahomes is hurt, I got to take Cincinnati. Probably would have taken Cincinnati with a healthy Mahomes anyway.
I would have done. Yeah, definitely.
Cincinnati is getting better and better each week. Just like, again, like I said, San Francisco kind of peaked and now they're kind of on the decline. Buffalo peaked earlier in the year.
Bengals are doing exactly what they did last year, and yes, they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, yes, well, and Kansas City doesn't have Tyreek Hill to save them this year. They still have Kelsey, but not having Hill, I think, is going to be the difference maker here.
That Bengals pass rush, Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson is going to make the difference. Because Mahomes is not going to be able to scramble.
Yeah. Nope.
All right, Jason, you want to review the games?
San Francisco at Philly, the NFC Championship game. Philly is favored by 2.5. And then the AFC title game, Bengals at the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are catching 1 point at home.
Holy cow. All right. So get your picks in, everybody. Tweet us at Dome Patrol PCast, hashtag Pick'ems. Final thoughts. Anybody got any?
I hate injuries. That's all I'm going to say. I hate injuries.
Hey, James.
Just Sean Payton, if you're listening, I know you're not, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please just make your mind up. Go somewhere. Let us get our picks. We can move on and hopefully see you every 4 years rather than twice a year. But if we have to play you twice a year, then we will. And, you know, I'll call you a quitter every single time I see your face.
You know what? He can't go to Carolina because the one thing he doesn't do is keep pounding. Quits.
That's not what his wife says. LSU baseball, 25 days away. First pitch, can't wait. Their basketball team sucks, but man, those uniforms they wore the other night were freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And
sold out already.
Sale. Detroit. Yeah. They have them at the gift
did
shop.
You see speaking of uniforms, did you see the gold concepts for the football team that the rumor is that they'd be wearing next year? It's like gold color rush.
I think those are fake.
I hope so.
I think those are fake. They look
like pajamas.
Yeah, they're bad.
All right. Last week, Jason, you brought up The Last of Us, I believe. Yes. Has everybody watched episode
not,
two?
No,
they have not.
Me
only
and
me.
James have not. So no. let me go back to episode
only
one.
Only we're the cool kids.
I forgot to watch it tonight.
It's too good of a show not to watch on the night that it comes on.
Well, I have to wait. I have to wait till Tuesday because Ainsley wants to watch it. My daughter wants to watch it with me because she watched me play all the video games late at night when I used to play them. So
how boring was that? Must have been.
Oh, she had a blast, dude. She would help me all the time. Anyway, The first episode was very true to the game. There wasn't too much that was off from it, so I was very happy with that. I did not realize that Sarah, Joel's daughter, was actually in real life Thandie Newton's daughter.
Yeah, I didn't realize either. Okay.
I thought that was
relevant now. Cool. Okay,
because
it's not.
The host are gonna rise up.
Yes,
a little Westworld humor.
I will just tell you,
or Riddick's gonna show up. That's what's gonna happen.
And this was isn't some Westworld people involved in the Last of Us? Am I?
No.
Okay.
The Chernobyl guy.
Nope. Thank you. But it was very accurate to the game, which I liked. So I'm interested to see what this week holds.
Yeah, this week, having not played, but there were a few scenes and shots that as I'm watching this week's episode, I kind of looked at it, I'm like, that looks like it's one of those shots from the game that they...
Cinematic.
Yeah, like because like the way they did, like her walking out and viewing the city, the angle, like you don't see that kind of cinematography in TV and movies, and it had a very video game feel to it if you play enough video games. So I'm like, I bet you this week we're gonna see, like on Twitter, Reddit, somewhere, that you know how they do the screens of the game side by side.
Yeah.
You're gonna see a couple. I love that people are doing that because I do like seeing it. Although yeah, I do that... like, I like the idea of deviating. I mean, give us the stuff. Yes, but story wise, you can deviate. That's fine.
I think they're going to deviate some.
Just so it's not predictable.
Right. It's kind of similar to Walking Dead, where they had a comic book.
Yeah.
And they deviated a bit from it. Like Shane was it Shane? No, Shane was a character. Somebody that wasn't a character in the comic book that was a main character in the TV show and stuff like that.
This episode two was like 17 times better than episode one for me.
Good. Look forward to
it. This was one of the best episodes of television I've seen in a very long time. It was nonstop. It was riveting. There was a surprising things in there that I did not expect to happen. And I wish I could talk about it, but you two assholes haven't watched it yet.
There was a clown.
Was there a clown?
No, there wasn't.
Oh,
I'm just waiting. Is Grogu going to show up in the finale?
I don't even see that. This is weird. Like the way that, like, again, so I'm not spoiling anything because it's, you know, people who play the game, there's enough knowledge out there. But again, having not played the game and not knowing the story, but this thing is almost like self-aware. Like it's, and there's this, they explained how like, it's almost like there's a central
hive mind
system, like a hive mind concept happening as on top of they, and like just the zombies themselves, like level of options and creativity. I never saw like the type of zombies that they gave us. I'm sure they're in the game, but like Walking Dead has nothing on Last of Us.
This thing that causes this is real, by the way. This actually happens to insects. It's like quite freaky.
Yeah, like that's what's the scary part about this whole thing is that it's based on believable fiction, right?
Yeah, the thing that got me on the first episode when he was talking about like, what if the Earth got warmer? And I was like, oh shit, are we going down a global warming wormhole here that we're gonna...
Science.
Yeah,
the fungus can live in us now, and
the fungus among us.
Oh, that's good. You come up with that one yourself? Just now?
Yes.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Facebook, look for Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Dallas donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
Name is Alice and New Orleans. They call